It's good to have the opportunity and the privilege to share God's word again. It's always an honour to be up here to share God's word. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I feel God's already been speaking through the songs and through what Christy has shared. And we sang I don't know, Christy, if that was a prophetic song or what, but you sang, "I won't be locked down. I will be ready for you to come." It was a prophetic song. I thought it was kind of a prophetic song. So obviously the Spirit of God is speaking to us already. I won't be locked down. And the kind of theme of my message today is, are you feeling stuck? Are you feeling locked down? Are you feeling confined? Are you feeling in a rut? And I felt the Spirit of the Lord say, even before a couple of days ago, some people in here, not all of us, are feeling confined, stuck, even stuck in a season that we kind of can't get out of. We need that breakthrough. Even some of us in here are feeling spiritually dry, feeling spiritually stagnant. So I feel today the Spirit of the Lord wants to speak into that directly and to get us all unstuck in the Spirit. Amen? Amen? To get us going, to get us moving in that momentum that God has called us to move in. So often life circumstances hits us and we get stuck, don't we? Spiritually stuck. I won't be locked down. I will be ready for you to come. So we're going to sit today in Exodus chapter 1, and we're going to read and look at the life of Moses. I'm not going to be doing a lot of jumping back and forth here, there, all over the Bible, but we're really going to sit in the story of Moses today. And this is a familiar account for most of us, I'm sure, that have been brought up in church, you know. But however, I'm going to do a lot of scripture reading today, because I believe when the word of the Lord goes forth, there's power in that. There's power in that word to change lives. And so I want you to be in a posture just to lean back. And I want you to just receive, and I want you to listen. And I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to you directly, will speak to us through this narrative. Amen? Amen. Okay. Before I start reading from Exodus, so as most of you know, I am not from Scotland, like the majority of us in here. I'm in good company. But I am from the UK, I'm from Wales. So from the age of 10, 11, I was brought up on a beautiful small holding. And it was great, brought up from 0 to 10 in the town. And then we moved to a small holding, which had 10 acres. And it was fantastic for me and my brother. We loved it. Because all of a sudden there was plenty of space, plenty of fields to run about, plenty of places to hide. And we had a little stream running past the side of the house, all the way down at the side of the fields. And often on a daily, it was a daily thing, especially on a weekend, I would put my Wellingtons on, my green Wellingtons on, and myself and my brother, we would go running. We would go running out and we would have a fantastic time around the farm with all the various sheds and the nooks and the crannies. It was glorious. But often, as it does in Wales when it rains, and it rains a lot in Wales, more Scotland, often by the side of the stream, it would get really kind of muddy, do you know? And often we would kind of jump over it. But from time to time, I would get stuck. My welly, it would always be kind of this spot for some weird reason. My welly would get stuck in the mud. And my brother, although he was 2 years younger than me, would grab my hand and kind of yank me out of it, and I would go flying to the other side of the stream. Sometimes the welly would remain in the mud. Okay, so that's kind of a spiritual illustration of what God wants to do for us today, to get us unstuck. Amen? Right, okay. The story of Moses, Israelites. Okay, Exodus 1:1. These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, each with his family: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all. Joseph was already in Egypt. Now, Joseph and all his brothers and all the generations died, but the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. So, then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "these Israelites have become far too numerous for us. They're really multiplying at a really rapid rate here. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous than us. And if war breaks out, most probably they'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So he was getting a bit terrified, wasn't he, of these Israelites multiplying so quickly. Verse 11, "So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. And they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed," hallelujah, praise God, "the more they multiplied and spread." Doesn't that remind you of the account in the book of Acts? When the early church was persecuted, put in jail, persecuted, did that stop them? No. They were overcomers. They kept on overcoming. Okay. So more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. So they were in bondage, in captivity. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians really worked them ruthlessly. So, the evil one, the enemy had a plan, evil plan to stop them from multiplying. Verse 22, "Then Pharaoh, he gave this order to all his people: every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw him into the Nile. Yeah? But let every girl live." That is pretty ruthless. Here Moses comes into the story, okay? "Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby, Moses. He was crying and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you.' So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, 'I drew him out of the water.'" Amazing, isn't it? The plan and the purpose of God for Moses, protecting his life and protecting his destiny. Now then, Moses flees to Midian. So One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were. Although he was raised in the courts and the palace of Pharaoh and raised in that kind of culture and manner, he went out and he saw his own people. And he watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. So this is what Moses did, looking this way and looking that way, making sure nobody could see him. He was trying to be clever, wasn't he? In his anger and his rage, in his flesh, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. So, just to conclude, news traveled fast and it got back to Pharaoh that Moses had killed an Egyptian. So when Pharaoh heard this, he tried to go after Moses and kill him as well. So what did Moses do? He had to escape. He fled. He fled to Midian. He thought, I need to get out of here. I need to start a new life. So he starts a new life, and the account says he even gets married, and he even has a son. And he ends up tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. Okay? So that's where his actions have led him. But here Moses is living now in Midian, and he's living in Midian because the consequences really of his actions, of what he did back in Egypt, yes? He's living underneath the shadow of those consequences, although God had a plan and purpose for his life. And you can see how God comes into that in a bit. So here he is, he's been tending the sheep for 30 years plus, it says, and he's doing his fair bit, and he's kind of, I can only imagine how he's feeling. He's most probably kind of feeling locked down and stuck, I would say so, and living potentially in the shame of his decisions and his actions in Egypt. And that can often happen to us in our Christian walk many a times. We can live in a place of stuckness of the decisions and things we have made in our past. We live underneath the cloud of shame and guilt. So I'm here to tell you today, by the Spirit of the Lord, there is no need to live in shame or guilt or fear anymore. The cross of Jesus Christ paid for all of that. Paid for all of that 2,000 years ago. So there is freedom from all the past mistakes we have done. And praise God for that. So here he is. He's actually killed a man. I'm sure none of us in here have killed anyone. Let's hope not. Even there's grace and forgiveness and mercy, which is incredible for that, you know. The grace and it blows your mind. So he's stuck and he's most probably going about his life, tending the sheep and doing all these various things. And all of a sudden, what happens? God turns up on the scene. God's good at doing that, isn't he? When we're in a place of wilderness, of being spiritually stuck, he can send a man or a woman of God to your life to encourage you. He can send a word of encouragement, a prophetic word into your life. He can do amazing things. God always says, send someone at the right time. From a past experience, I can testify to that. He never leaves us. He always tries to get us unstuck and get us going again, which is amazing. So what happened? God turns up. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 9 to 11, the angel of the Lord appeared to him through the flames in a burning bush. He's going about, he's looking after the sheep, and all of a sudden, he's doing his day-to-day chores, and all of a sudden, God turns up. The angel of the Lord appeared to him through the flames of the burning bush. And in Exodus 3, verse 9-11, it says, God says, "And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way these Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you, Moses. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. I am sending you." Verse 11, "But Moses said to God, 'Oh my goodness, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I? Who am I? Don't you know? Don't you know what I have done? Don't you know how I have behaved? Don't you know of how I still am? How should I go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites? How should I go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?'" You see, the first sticking point he encountered was that he tried to negotiate with God. He tried to negotiate with God here. Who am I? Instead of giving God a yes and an amen, let's go, he said, "Who am I to go? Who am I to do this ministry? Who am I to birth this child? Who am I to even try and go for that job? Who am I?" You see, Moses was stuck in himself. He was stuck in his own thoughts, in his own narrative, in his own story. Are we not good at putting stories and narratives in our own minds sometimes? Are we not good at doing that? He had his own story there, and he was listening to his own little story. "I'm not good enough for this. I'm not good enough at all. Look at me, look at what I've done." He's listening to his own story here. He's been stuck. He's listening to his own dialogue, his thoughts. But the Spirit of God is speaking to him directly in the situation, wanting to bring life and wanting to bring restoration and wanting him to be propelled into the call of God on his life, which is to bring justice to the people of God. But God wants Moses to do it his way, not Moses' way. Moses tried to bring justice, but he took matters into his own hands. And it was very messy and it was very bloody. But you see here, he's a God of second chances. Hallelujah for second, third, fourth chances. Fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. Do you know? Amen. And here he is, speaking into him with all his failures, all his doubts, all his insecurities. What if they don't believe me? Exodus 4, verse 1. What if they don't even listen to me? And what if they say, "The Lord did not appear to you"? You see, in this sentence, Moses was worried about two things here. What other people would say, and secondly, what the future might look like. We cannot control either. Number one, what people say, we cannot control, and yet again, the future, what might happen, we cannot control either. He's stuck for good reason, really, when you look at it naturally, because he knows himself, he knows his flaws, we all know ourselves, our flaws, our failures, our inadequacies. You know you and I know me, and to negotiate with God, well, let's not try and do that. But we remain stuck in ourselves. He's got the narrative all worked out, hasn't he, in his head. Have you ever been stuck in a story where you think that's going to happen, maybe? So often in the middle of the night, maybe we toss and turn and we go over things in our minds, don't we, late at night, and I wonder what will happen tomorrow. I wonder how this will turn out. Will I get to the other side? What happened? And we're not listening to the voice of God or to God's promises. And God wants to bring us to a higher level today. He wants to pull us out of that mud into a higher level. What promise has God given you? What promise has God given us as a congregation? Has he not said we're going to move and get a glorious building? Has he not said that? Yes, that's the promise of God. Most visitors probably think that he has to go all the way back to Egypt and to the very same place and patch that he kind of messed up, full of shame and with his head bowed down. But God is calling him to bring justice in his way, not Moses' his way. So Isaiah 55 verse 8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways, neither are your ways my ways. The way God does things is not the same as our ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, the way I do things, are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, the funny thing about Moses is he rejects himself before anybody else has a chance to. He's not even gone there yet. He's rejecting himself. He's signing himself out. I can't do this. I know me. And the list goes on. You see, in this incident, the bigger story doesn't revolve around Moses. It doesn't revolve around you or me sometimes. When we get stuck in ourselves, we sometimes miss the whole point. And the whole point is that God wants to use us for his kingdom and for his glory. There is a bigger picture sometimes than you and me. God is doing something bigger than you, and he wants to use us in this. It's beyond us. Is for the kingdom of God, to bring freedom and to bring the captives free. It's bigger than us. What would have happened to Moses if he had stayed in Midian? What would have happened to him if he had stayed there? He would have totally missed the wonderful call of God on his life. He would have missed it. He would have totally missed the boat. If he had remained stuck in his own dialogue and in his own thoughts, he would have missed it. Let us not be a people that miss the call and the purpose and the plans and the assignments of God on our lives. So it's bigger. God's bigger than what's wrong with me. God's bigger than what's wrong with you. It's bigger than what you did or didn't do. It's bigger than the time you wasted. Right? It's bigger than the time you wasted. Let's look at Joel chapter 2, verse 25-32. And hopefully this is the word of the Lord for some of us here today, if not all of us. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat. Amen? You will have plenty to eat until you are full. And you will praise again. There is a season coming that you're going to praise the name of the Lord your God again. Amen. You will sing a new song to the Lord. You will sing a new song to the Lord. He's going to work wonders for you. This is the word of the Lord. This is the promise of God for us today. Never again will my people be shamed. Never again will you be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again. So many times in that verse there, he says, never again, never again will my people be ashamed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. We grab hold of that, God, today. We grab hold of that Spirit of the Lord today, that we will sing, Lord. Father God, whoever's been stuck in a wilderness season, that's been stuck and locked down, Father God, thank you by your Spirit, you're saying, you will sing again. You will stand. And if you're going through the Red Sea, I will bring you forth to the other side, glorious. Thank you, Jesus. So in Exodus 4, verse 2 to 5, God is giving him a wee pep talk here. And he's saying this to him. If you read this account when you go home, the many other supernatural events that happen here. But he says to him, and Moses, what's in your hand there? A staff, he replied. The Lord says, go on, throw it on the ground. So we all know the story well. Moses threw it on the ground, and what happened? It became a snake. Now initially, like I would do, Moses ran from it. He ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, go back. Reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses went back. He obviously had to go back to that very spot he's afraid of. And he had to grab that snake by the tail. He was ever so brave, wasn't he? And what happened to it? It turned back into a staff. This, said the Lord, this is so that they may believe that the Lord, the good fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. You see, God knew his heart. He knew that he needed a bit of encouragement there. You see? For every sticking point in your life, God has given you a staff. That staff was used supernaturally in so many different ways through the course of Moses' leadership, was it not? Amen? So what is your staff today? It could be maybe the promise in the Bible. That's your staff. That's the supernatural thing that you're clinging on to. It could be a dream that God has given you. It could be even in the weekly mundane. It could be when you're hitting low mood and you're not feeling great. Your staff, that supernatural thing that you'd be clinging on to, is maybe putting worship music on in the house, yeah, or speaking in the spirit for a period of time. Use the staff. Use that supernatural thing that God has given us. In order for Moses to see what that instrument could be, he had to release it and throw it on the ground. He had to be obedient. So when he released it and threw it down on the ground, it became, obviously, as we know, a snake. Till you surrender, you will never see what it could be. Giftings that we have, if you surrender it, God can use it for his glory. Hallelujah. The very same stick then God used in the hands of Moses to part the Red Sea. Maybe there are things that you're going through in your season that you've never ever faced before. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, when you stand in front of those Red Seas, you know, in your life, God will do the supernatural as you press into him. Exodus 14, verse 16, time has gone. Raise your staff, Moses, and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the waters so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry land. He's a God that changes our mourning into dancing. I'm just going to finish off with a couple of declarations. I'm going to read from Psalm 30, verse 11 to 12, first of all. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. He changes beauty for ashes. He turns our shame into glory. He turns crosses into empty tombs, graves into gardens, bones, dry bones, into armies. He turns seas, the Red Sea, into highways that we can victoriously walk through. I declare this and I decree this over us. It is done in the name of Jesus. We're never too young or we're never too old. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Right, I am over my time. I need to behave and keep to the 30-minute mark. Okay. But as we finish, let's stand to our feet. And I just feel like inviting maybe the ministry team to the front so we can maybe pray or release.